Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. One quick thing that I wanted to say, and we will jump right into the lesson. Several of you have asked about the directory. The second Sunday in January, and the reason it's not the first Sunday is because that morning I will be at camp for Light the Fire. The second Sunday in January, we'll have directory information sheets out for you to pick up, to fill out. That way we can update any information. And also for those who did not take a picture last time, or you say, hey, that's been quite a while ago, I want to update my picture, we'll take new pictures as well. And we'll get all that compiled through the month of January, and then get that sent off to the printers and get some new directories in. As we do that, for those of you that use the app, that will automatically update on the app. And so if you use the app more than you use a paper directory, you'll have that updated information quickly through the app, because as soon as I put it in, it updates it. But then we'll get the paper directories ordered and get those in as well. This morning we began looking at the topic of being more forgiving. And for that we went to the book of Matthew, to Matthew chapter 18, and we were noticing together verses 21 through 35. We want to pick up tonight in our third point. As we look at this, we said that there are principles that forgiveness promotes. There are the principles that forgiveness promotes. Jesus now, at this point in the text, he begins to explain the truth on forgiveness with a parable. And in this parable, Jesus gives us six principles that are vital if we are going to understand true forgiveness. Six principles that are necessary if we are going to develop and be more forgiving. We are always in need of a forgiving spirit. And these six things will help us to get there and to stay there. So six principles that we want to notice. Number one tonight, forgiveness is free, but it is not cheap. Forgiveness is free, but it is not cheap. Once again, we're in Matthew chapter 18. We want to look at verses 23 through 25 together. Forgiveness is free, but it is not cheap. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. You see, right off the bat, we have a man here who has a problem. The Bible says that he owes 10,000 talents. Now, if that sounds like a lot to us, it is. Maybe even more so than you might imagine. During this time in Galilee, the region of Galilee, okay, if you look at a map, Galilee is not a city, it's a region. In the region of Galilee, the Romans required taxes to be paid. And the tax for the region of Galilee for the whole year was 200 talents. So this man owed 50 years worth of taxes for an entire region. To kind of put it in perspective to what he owed. If you break that down into our money today, you'll get all kinds of ranges depending on how the person is valuing the talent, whether it was a silver talent or a gold talent. The point is this. He owed an amount of money that he could never pay back. There was no way possible that this man ever would be able to repay the debt that he owed. This debt represents our sin. Brethren, sin is a debt that we could never pay. Forgiveness is freely given by God, but it's not cheap. It cost God his son. It cost his son his life. It costs us submission and obedience in our life and service. Indeed, forgiveness is free, but it is not cheap. Number two, we see from this parable that forgiveness is full, not partial. Forgiveness is full, not partial. Notice verses 26 and 27. Forgiveness is full, not partial. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt.
One commentator said he turned a theft into a debt. He turned a debt into a gift. And then he paid the gift from his own pocket. This man owed a debt that he could not pay, and yet that debt was forgiven. The king paid a debt here that he didn't owe. Does that sound familiar? We sang a song along those lines sometimes. He paid a debt he did not owe. We owed a debt we could not pay. When we submit to God's plan in humble obedience, he forgives us, and he forgives fully, not partially. And as we look to forgive others, brethren, we have to forgive fully, not partially. We don't get to say, hey, I'll forgive you for part of what you did, but I'm going to hold on to this part, and I'm not forgiving you for that. If that person is seeking forgiveness, the Bible teaches that we forgive fully. And aren't we glad that that's what God does with us? That he doesn't say, well, I'll forgive part of it, but I'll still hold part of it to your account. Here the master forgave the entire debt. Could the master have said, hey, I'll forgive you up to this amount, but then you still owe this? Oh, he could have done that. It would have been within his right to do so. But that's not how it worked with him. He forgave the man fully. In 1 John 1:7, John writes, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from, watch the word now, all sin. Forgiveness is free, but it's not cheap. Forgiveness is full, not partial. And then number three, forgiveness is final, not temporary. Forgiveness is final, not temporary. Back to verse 27 that we noticed just a moment ago. Forgiveness is final, not temporary. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. For this man, the slate was wiped clean. The debt was canceled. The prisoner was released. The case was closed. Now I realize here in just a moment, we're going to notice because of this man's unforgiving spirit himself, that debt is going to be reinstated. But at this point in the parable, that's done. Brethren, you will either forgive and forget, or you will forget to forgive. You will either forgive and forget, or you will forget to forgive. You see, sometimes instead of totally forgiving someone, what do? We hold on to a grudge. Forgiveness is both an action and an attitude. And both steps are necessary because the action of forgiveness frees the one who has done the wrong. But it is the attitude of forgiveness that we have that frees us. Because brethren, when we hold on to those things, it eats away. And so the attitude of forgiveness is what frees us. When you tell someone that you are forgiving them, you're committing to three things. Number one, you're saying, I'll never use this against you again. In other words, I'm not going to bring this up in future conversations. Hey, you remember when you did? No. When I forgive someone, I'm saying I'm not going to use this against you again. Number two, I'm saying I will never use this to run you down when I talk to other people. Brethren, when someone has wronged us, our first move should be to that individual. It should not be to brother or sister so-and-so. Hey, you know what? No. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that if we have something against someone, we go to them. And if they have something against us, then they come to us. In fact, if you look at the Bible's instructions, ideally what would happen is we'd meet somewhere in the middle because we're going to them and they're coming to us and we're going to take care of that. Number three, I'm not going to let myself dwell on what you've done for the rest of my life. When I forgive someone, those are the three things that I'm saying I'm going to do. I'm not going to use it against you again. I'm not going to run and tell other people and run you down to them about it. And I'm not going to allow myself to dwell on it for the rest of my life. I need to try my best to be like God and to see nothing other than a clean slate. That brings us to our next principle. Forgiveness experience becomes forgiveness expressed. Forgiveness experienced becomes forgiveness expressed. Notice verses 28 through 30 and you'll see what we're talking about here. Forgiveness experienced becomes forgiveness expressed. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. This is truly amazing. Here is a man that was just forgiven. He had just got out of prison. He had an enormous debt forgiven. And instead of returning that spirit of forgiveness, he demands payment. For him, what should have taken place here, because he experienced forgiveness, he should have himself been one who expressed forgiveness to another. But instead, he grabs this man by the throat and demands, "You pay me what you owe." And notice the discrepancy here. It says that he owes 100 denarii. That wasn't just a tiny amount. A denarii was normally considered a day's wage, so you have an amount that equaled about 100 days worth of wages. But compared to the 10,000 talents, y'all, it was a drop in the bucket. Here's a man who had been forgiven so much and unwilling in comparison to forgive so little. What about us? When we compare what someone might have done to us to what we have done to God, it's like comparing 10,000 talents to 100 denarii. One man said, "I am not going to stay mad at anyone until they mistreat me the way that I did Jesus." If we have been forgiven, then brethren, we should forgive. Forgiveness experience should become forgiveness expressed. Number five, forgiveness is expensive, but unforgiveness is explosive. Forgiveness is expensive, but unforgiveness is explosive. Notice verses 31 through 34 with me. Forgiveness is expensive, but unforgiveness is explosive. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. You know, if you look back in the text, what this man said to the master was the exact same thing that the other man said to him. There was no difference in the wording. Both of the men said, "Have patience on me, with me, and I'll pay you all." But this man didn't. And now the king hears of this hypocrisy. He gets so angry that he throws the man back into prison. He reinstates the debt, which means this man will die in that prison. Being unforgiving is just as damaging to you, and maybe even more so than the other person. It's like holding a hot coal in your hand. You're the one that's going to get burned. Bitterness, grudges, anger, brethren, they imprison us. People talk about having ulcers because of what they're eating, but sometimes it's because of what's eating them. You destroy yourself when you refuse to have a forgiving spirit. It destroys you physically, but even worse, it destroys you spiritually. Brethren, it'll keep you out of heaven. It might cost a lot from us to forgive, but brethren, it costs even more not to forgive. And that brings us to our final principle that we want to notice tonight. An unforgiving spirit is the mark of an unforgiven spirit. An unforgiving spirit is the mark of an unforgiven spirit. We close out with the passage that we started with this morning, and that's verse 35. An unforgiving spirit is the mark of an unforgiven spirit. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Church, listen to me. You can attend every service. You can read your Bible every day. You can pray every day. You can be a morally upright person. But if you do not have a forgiving spirit, you are lost. That's what Jesus says here. We can't be forgiven if we are unwilling to forgive. Christ offers us forgiveness, but he expects us to freely give it to others as well. What about you tonight? Do you stand in need of forgiveness? If you're not a Christian, you can obtain that forgiveness tonight. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to turn from sin, confess that belief before men to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you've done that tonight, you are a Christian, you realize tonight there are things in between me and God. Friend, remove that barrier. Don't leave tonight with anything standing in between you and your God. He has a forgiving spirit. Are you in need of that forgiveness? If so, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.